Happy anniversary! That's right. That's right. And they said it wouldn't last, right? Yeah. 18 years ago, we did our very first service in Stuartsville at the elementary school. And from that day forward, we have just been doing church. And it has been 18 years of doing church. And I am thrilled that every year we have marked it. We said, we got to celebrate it because we don't know. We may not make it till next year. So let's mark it and make a big deal out of it. And meaning, let's thank God for it. And God has done amazing things over that time. And we're going to really kind of focus tonight's anniversary on where we've been recently. And you'll know what I mean more as we go through the night. We're so glad that you are here with us. We tried to do something special for you, and we pray that God's Spirit would work in a mighty way tonight, touching your heart, showing you something that He wants to get through to you. I'm thrilled that you're here with us. I'm glad you are watching online. We pray that tonight would be special. I ask that you would just pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for all that you have done. You have been so, so good to us. And I pray that tonight we would be able to celebrate well, that we would not forget all that you've done, all those times that we sent up prayers in back rooms, small groups, in coffee meetings, all those times, Lord, that you kept answering and answering and answering, and you just brought us along. Lord, we have seen through the good, the bad, and the ugly, you have been there, and you have got us through. We have not been tested beyond what we could bear, but you were always there showing us a way through it, and you're doing that even today in this time in our church life. Now, Lord, I pray that you take tonight and make it what you want it to be. Touch our hearts the way you want to touch our hearts and help our relationship to you to be one that becomes more and more and more real, more and more and more strong as we spend time with you. Thank you for all that you've done. And Lord, this is really about saying thank you to you more than anything else. In Jesus' name, amen. Miss Kemp.
Wow.
We had 42 people at our house last night. Yeah. And you wouldn't have recognized one of them because they're all dressed up and they looked wonderful. We had a great, great night. We had just such a good time doing that. Westbridge, as I said, has now finished 18 years of ministry. That means, yeah, I can't believe it. It means 18 years of asking God to show us what we are to focus on in the days ahead each time we asked. 18 years of attempting to explain God's word in an understandable and engaging manner. 18 years of trying to show people that there is a God who really is and really wants to connect with them. And 18 years of loving each other in a true family fashion, with all the good, all the bad, and all the ugly that goes along with an honest relationship, we have done that. It also means that 18 times I have had to go to God and ask Him to give us our marching orders. I don't have a 5-year plan. I don't have any ideas. I don't have any plans. I asked God to show me what He wants us to do, and I said, you show us what you're going to do, Lord. We'll join you right in that. 18 times I have gone to Him and asked Him for that, and this year was no different. In leadership circles, they will call that finding your mission. What's your mission? Your mission statement, or what's your mission? And God has always delivered. Some of my favorites, some of our favorite missions, maybe these will sound familiar to you. Some of my favorites was when we did Crossing the Bridge. I loved Crossing the Bridge, where we would actually said God was calling us to, for each of us, to go into new territory, places we had never been, go there and just do life there. For me, that meant two years ago, I went to Weight Watchers, and just to watch. I went to Weight Watchers and met new people. A lot of people went in different places and did different things. There are people here tonight because of the Crossing the Bridge initiative. Another one of my favorites was the Times 2, which became known as X2. X2, where we lovingly went out and tried to double our efforts in everything God gave us to do. And I don't know if you remember way back when, one of my favorites when we had our magnets, I had magnets made of color magnets, and we did the year of 1,000 asks. We wanted to invite 1,000 people to church, and that was our mission. So as for tonight, year number 19 We are now in year number 19. This is the first service of year number 19. I thought I had our mission, guys. I thought I had it. It was so clear, and it is. I felt like God was tapping me on the shoulder and gave me this great three-point sermon, and he gave me our marching orders about what should happen in year number 19. And I diligently copied all that down, and I wrote the message. I was done with our mission statement message on January 16th. If you go to my computer, you'll find it on my desktop. There it is, the mission for year number 19. That was January 16th. But that seems like a lifetime ago now, doesn't it? January seems like a whole different way of life because a new reality was about to envelop us. To say this year was different from any other would be quite an understatement, wouldn't it? And for me, what was one of the most difficult aspects of it has been trying to lead, along with many others out there, trying to lead a church forward when it feels like our legs have been cut out from underneath us. I just spoke to a friend. My friend Dave just came and spoke to me before, and he asked me, he says, "Hey, you know, we had a hard time finding you." I said, "I don't know how that could be. We're right here in this barn in the middle of nowhere. How could you not find us? We couldn't have made it." It's basically, you know, Westbridge's motto, if you can find us, you can come. Well, he found us, and he asked me, "Hey, what's going on? When are we heading back to Alpha?" And I said, "Oh, I'll be honest with you, there's no plans. We're not in charge on that. We don't own that building. We just rent from them. They told us very, very clearly that they don't know what's going on, and it's kind of out there. They don't know." So, like I said, you feel like your leg's been cut out from underneath us. And, you know, for us as Westbridge, we are really, really, really used to charging hell with a water pistol. That's what we're good at. We're the little church that could. And we just keep trying to do anything and everything we can and doing all kinds of fun, out-of-the-box things. That's what we do as a church family. God's kind of called us to those kind of undertakings and adventures. And it felt like that was kind of not really available to us in the way it was before March. Also, you know that our biggest weapon, one of our biggest weapon as far as taking ground for the kingdom of God, is inviting people to our services. That's really a big weapon for all of us. We like using that. Not the same since March, right? And we also know another thing for us, our face-to-face contact, even just right now when we talk to one another, it has been the lifeblood of the friendliness and the welcoming community that Westbridge is. But when March hit, I got to tell you, for me, here's all I could think. Stay alive. Just stay alive as a church. Keep going. Don't miss a service. Don't slip backwards. Don't give up. Don't fade. Keep everything afloat. Drew, just keep it afloat with God's help. And incredibly, God has responded very powerfully during year 18. Even through this time where we feel like, and where the whole world feels like you're just kind of treading water. We're just treading water. Can't do much. Can't make much decisions. Can't go anywhere. Can't plan much. We're all just treading water. Even in that time, new faces have shown up at church, haven't they? Even through that time, hearts have been changed. And you saw it. Even through this time, enlightenment has taken place, encouragement has gone on, and inspiration has clearly happened. So, as we look for a mission from God moving forward, as we look to be found doing what God has called us to do, I honestly have to appraise the time we are in and be honest with what it is, that God is certainly working. God is working, right? We see that. But our ground attack, our charge, our marching orders to go take that hill for the kingdom is really in kind of a different phase. It's like King David. A lot of times you train the troops, a lot of time you're with the troops, then certain days you pull the trigger and you go into a battle. I don't feel like that's right the moment we're at. God has us kind of in what I would call a time of stay. A time of stay. Now, I know that may not sound very desirous or ambitious, but it's an excellent calling. It's a very biblical calling. Very necessary calling that sometimes God says, stay, David. Stay. Look at Acts chapter 1. We'll talk about a different group. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus commissions his 11 disciples to enter into a time of stay. He does. Here it is, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. Jesus commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised you. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, when Jesus said just a few days, he didn't mean 2 days. He didn't mean 3 days. He didn't even mean a week. Jesus' disciples stayed. They didn't go take the hill. They stayed for 10 days. 10 days before they would take ground for Jesus. Sure, things are happening in the midst. Of course, the Spirit's moving. But 10 days, really, of preparation. 10 days to do what Jesus had commanded them to do before they would get out there. 10 days before they would get busy doing what we know they did. 10 days before they would do the hard-charging offensive assault. Well, that would begin. Gang, it feels a very strange time to value a time of stay, but is indeed a valuable time. Just because it's not game day doesn't mean God's not doing anything. It doesn't mean that we're not doing anything. We look at Joseph in the Old Testament. He had been sold into slavery into a foreign land by his brothers. After serving his new Egyptian master very, very well, Potiphar, Joseph is then thrown into prison. Talk about a time of stay. Joseph was in prison no less than 2 years, and the most likely timeline is he was there for about 12 years. We, along with Joseph, ask, Lord, exactly why did you order up this time? What kind of mission is this to simply stay? Isn't charging the hill, isn't fighting the devil and his influence, isn't that all we should be doing? Well, apparently, Westbridge, there is a value God orders up that takes place in a time of stay. A third example can be found. Think of that generation that was growing up, the younger generation of Israel that would eventually charge into and take the promised land. They had to wait 40 years to grow up before God would use them. 40 years of stay. Was God working during these stays? You bet he was working. Jesus' disciples waiting those 10 days. Joseph waiting those 12 years. Israel waiting those 40 years. They would all emerge from their stays changed. They would be different when they came out, weren't they? And they were charged up for what God had for them. The question is not, is God working? The question is, what does God want me to accomplish in this mission time of stay? And once again, God has impressed certain things on my heart during this time of stay, scriptures that I believe he wants me to highlight. So I will highlight them for you. The first is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Look at God's very simple command to us in this verse. Rejoice always. You can memorize that one, can't you? Yeah, that's a good one to memorize. Since March, I have tried to catch myself each time I want to grumble, each time I want to go off at the situation we have been placed in. And friends, I have to be honest with you, I really want to follow God's instructions. I want and I need to follow God's instructions. I have found incredible life. I found incredible freedom and fulfillment in obeying God's instructions. And in this time of stay, now God is highlighting this verse to me, rejoice always. In fact, it's not the only place God says that. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. But one of the things I am learning is that I'm really not very good at obeying this command. It became abundantly clear to me just a short time ago when I was in Disney World, Florida, standing in line, waiting for their latest, greatest, most super-duper incredible ride, and I was sweating like crazy with this face mask on. It was 90 degrees. The sun was shining, and I was uncomfortable. And the last thing on my mind was, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And that's when God tapped me on the shoulder and highlighted what he wanted me to learn. It was like he was talking right into my heart. It's like, Drew, you're on vacation. I'm giving you a vacation in this. You had a beautiful flight on a comfortable airplane. It really was comfortable. You're standing in the gorgeous sunlight of Florida. You're in Disney World of all places. And I was standing in line because I had just scored one of the most hard-to-get tickets for the greatest thrill ride. I was going to ride the Millennium Falcon of Star Wars. And still, my attitude was to grumble. Can you believe it? It was as if God was saying to me, now, do you see why I have you in a time of stay? I want you to emerge better. I want you to come out of this better. Like Joseph, like the disciples, and like Israel did. Learn to rejoice always. That's what you need to learn in this time of stay right here. Soldiers, whether we are simply inconvenienced like I was by a mask, or even if we suffer health problems, financial hardship, God's word is still the same. It still says, rejoice always. Point one was rejoice always. Paul wrote, when we have Jesus Christ, we have everything we need. When the early church was going through hardships, he wrote, our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. Westbridge, in this time of stay, may we master this command to rejoice always. May we all recognize what we have in Christ. Point one, I believe in this mission of stay is rejoice always. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be worried, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. What Nehemiah was saying there is that this day, this time, is a holy time to the Lord. It's a time that's set apart. That means it's important to him. Then Nehemiah goes on to tell them to let the joy in God be what makes them strong, because that is where you find your strength. Westbridge, I don't know what mission we will find in the future, but I know God wants us to get strong by rejoicing in him always. Now, along with that challenge, God has uncovered another action step for me in this time of stay. This next part in our stay mission comes from Acts chapter 2. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Now, this is one of the most notable scriptures we turn to as far as learning about community and fellowship in the church. The early church found great strength in doing life together. I especially love that God recorded that line, they met in homes and shared their meals with great joy. For me, this concept transcends time. and makes complete sense to anyone who has ever enjoyed a good meal or a cup of coffee with a friend. Does anyone have a tissue, by the way? Miss Tara. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Did Miss Tara put those there for all the way from Carolina? Miss Sarah, thank you so much. I appreciate that. That video was something, wasn't it? Miss Kelly made that. Wasn't that beautiful? Yeah, it's wonderful. Wonderful. Now, God used two factors in this next point to initiate a new undertaking for me during this time of stay, this time of waiting. There's another aspect that God kind of highlighted for me. Now, the first thing God used to kind of get this through to me was a long-standing gathering that I witnessed when I was in West Virginia. Now, my dad grew up in West Virginia. He lived there his whole life as a boy. He had his own little horse and everything. And he moved to New Jersey at age 17 looking for work. Came to New Jersey looking for work. He stayed here most of his adult life until he retired. And then he made it home again back in West Virginia. So I went down to visit him in West Virginia. And I saw something interesting. He had a weekly standing gathering where he would meet with his friends for breakfast, just really coffee at Hardee's. Coffee at Hardee's, this is what he did. And he took me with him. And I couldn't believe it. There was no agenda. There was no reason for this gathering. There was no nothing going on. Just a few, and I'm talking good old country boys, joying about what they were working on. Talking about what broke at home, talking about their friends, who where they're at, talking about what ails them. That's big in good old boys clubs. And all talking about all local goings on. And they're all sitting there. They're all sitting there, these men. This is my father. He's retired now. So they're all sitting there with these baseball hats, very highly perched on their head, baseball hats, all wearing plaid shirts. Any kind of plaid shirt is in a good old boys club. And they're all sitting there with their southern drawls, real deep southern drawls, and their eclectic personalities. And I absolutely loved that. I did. I was very jealous that my father had this wonderful kind of thing going on. I loved that. But with that dream floating around in my head, a second trigger went off to kind of further prompt me, God pushing a little further. By summertime, since we know COVID hit in March, and by summertime, I was really missing my friends. I really, really was missing some of them I hadn't seen in months. Just broadcasting online, I hadn't seen them. I really missed my friends. So I intentionally fed this information to start a good old boys club to somebody I knew who would do it, Mr. Robert. Well, needless to say, within 2 weeks, he had felt the same way anyway. Within 2 weeks, we were down at the Red Rose Diner with the good old boys wearing our baseball caps, plaid shirts, and we're having coffee. And I'm like, this is great. Meeting and sharing meals with great joy. Believe me, I enjoy studying the Bible. Believe me, I like small groups. I like studying the Bible with my small group. But there is also a necessary component that needs to be added, and that is just doing life together. Just do life together. The Bible stuff will happen naturally. It'll come up because it's in your heart. No setup with these guys. No teardown. No responsibilities. No message prep. No schedule. We just go. We sit there. No time limit either. I don't care. Sometimes we're there 45 minutes. Sometimes they're an hour and a half. Don't make no difference. Just knowing people and being known by people. But Westbridge, God brought all this about through this time of stay. That had to happen for this to happen. And perhaps the most important piece that I want to pass on to you, you have to be intentional about making it happen. So tell Mr. Robert. Yeah, tell Mr. Robert. And he will probably join good old girls groups, good old boys groups, good old, he's so happy. He loves everybody. He'll come to every kind of group, won't you, Mr. Robert? Yeah. Here you go, see? Be intentional. Make it happen. Not talking about the Mr. Robert part, but no more talking about it. No more wishing for it. No more expecting someone else to do it. Just go ahead and get her done. Westbridge, I believe I believe with all my heart, and I've tried to be honest with what we talk about here, we are very good. This church is very good at looking outward. We're very good at that. We all are very aware and very active about inviting people to church. It's normal for us. That's a very natural thing for us. We do that very easily. We have an outside mindset where we look out. We try to look for troubled people and invite them to church. We look for the lost and we bring them to church. We try to find them. We invite them to small groups. We talk to them. We're very good at that. But Acts chapter 2 shows us that we must also be very good at looking among. If you are feeling disconnected, if you are feeling like you're treading water, if you are feeling kind of left out these days, if you are feeling like something's missing, I don't feel it, something's gone that was there one time, most likely the person sitting next to you feels the same way. Or the person you sat next to last week is feeling exactly the same way as you are. This time of stay can spur us on to be very intentional about having an Acts 2 type of church. One where we do life together and everyone knows that they are cared about and that they are longed to be with. You want to be with them. Now maybe, just maybe, this time of stay was about something bigger than people feeling lost, disconnected and isolated. Maybe God's intention through this whole stay is about not being lost, but about being found. Wow. I'm going through these tissues pretty quick there, Miss Sarah. So, need another box. Westridge, the key to finding is to just do it. Simply call someone. Get together. It says they met in homes and shared their meals with great joy. We come into this anniversary of our church seeking to find God's mission for us when I believe He has already shown us. Live a life of joyfulness. And lay hold of the strength that cannot be shaken through that. Cannot be shaken by circumstances because our strength is fueled not by what happens to us. It is fueled and supplied by Jesus Christ's love and connection to us and through one another. Then take the strength that we have been given through the joy of the Lord and use it to excite and to invigorate and enliven others. Gang, nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever. And the best way to live every moment, every season, is to live it to its fullest. I'm starting to see that this stay from God was not about what we could not do, but what God wants us to do. Therefore, soldiers, the final point is this. It won't last forever. Let's finish well. Finish well. Westbridge, the journey of our stay is going to end someday. And we are already seeing positive signs, aren't we? So I wanted you to have something to help you, to carry you through the remainder, and to help you think about finishing productively, to help you in finishing fruitfully and finishing well by going out and looking among and loving on the body. Always looking outward as well, but loving on the body. So I thought the right equipment we needed to see us through this was something I saw in Disney World, because I got a lot of things to carry with me, and I was introduced to these wonderful sling bags. Yeah, these sling bags are cool. And they got our name on it. Yeah. So for a mere $500, no, you're getting one. You are getting one of these tonight. How's that sound? You're getting one of these cool sling bags, and you can use it when you go journeying. Because guess what? You can go to the diner with a friend. You can go to Starbucks and get a cup of coffee with somebody. You can go to their house.
You can make this happen. And I believe that's what God has shown me has been very fruitful to this time. So I want to end our night by going to God and talking to him through song. Let the last part of this celebration truly be a time where we celebrate him, where we celebrate the mission that he's sending us on, the mission to be rejoicing. Let us be the people who have the good attitudes. Us be the people who are happy. We're going on a picnic next Saturday. Next Saturday, picnic, baseball game. We got all reason to be happy. And I bet I'm going to see a bunch of sling bags. I don't think you'll fit a baseball bat in there, but you might. So let's stand and worship together as we finish our time. Lord, that's how we feel tonight. Starting year 19, but looking back over the 18 that you've given us, we're so thankful. So grateful for the mountains we have seen you move. And we have seen you move some mighty big mountains. Hearts that were so far away from you, hearts that we never thought would turn to you, that ran to you with open arms. Addictions that were broken, healings that took place, marriages that were restored. Lord, so much. We've seen you move the mountains, and we know you will do it again because you haven't stopped. Even through the midst of this past 8 or 9 months, Lord, we have seen you move amazingly, and I pray that we would continue to be faithful to what you call us to. And Lord, in this time where we're really not running up the hill and doing this major offensive, we still are on some type of offensive, and we see that. But Lord, help us to do it wisely. Lord, let this be a church body that becomes strong with one another. A church body that cares about one another and isn't afraid to love one another and to reach out and open your heart to someone. And Lord, I do pray that you would help each of us to be open, to be living a life of forgiveness, not taking the hurt when things happen, but living a life of forgiveness, knowing and expecting and believing the best about others. Lord, I pray you start that here and that we would have that as we continue to look outward. But Lord, we want to say most of all, thank you for what you've done and happy anniversary, Lord, for what you started and what we just kind of reap the glory of and also the benefits of. But I pray that we would always be pointing back to you, that you are the one who did it. You are the one who has made our lives special because of something called the body of Christ and how you knit us together here in this amazing little church body that we've come to love. Now, Lord, lead us on, because we still affirm, you send the wave, we will ride it. Happy anniversary, Jesus. Amen. Have a great night. We will see you here next week, 7 o'clock.